All right, we're still on repentance forever. Do you have the notes? What was the last scripture we studied?
Acts 3:12-19.
All right, let's go to Acts 11. And there are two words that, remember the two words for repentance, but the good repentance is called metanoia. And that's the exchange of your mind. But there's another word that's used along with repentance, and that word is epistrepho. And it's used to emphasize the fruit of repentance. And so that's what we're looking at now, epistrepho. Turn, convert, turn again. So Acts 11. Chapter 11, verse 19. Now they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Now again, remember what's happening here. The persecution of the Christians is increasing. The ideas about they still had to go to the Jew first before they went to the Gentile. So we're still at that point. And so, in verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned epistrepho unto the Lord. So it's repentance is really the abhorrence of you, and then epistrepho or turning is turning and leaving you behind and turning to God. So let's look at another one. Let's go to Acts 26. I mean, remember, saved is the merest of beginnings. It's typified of the Jews that were in Passover in Egypt. They came and they were saved from the angel of death. And then typically they were baptized as they went through the Dead Sea. I mean the Red Sea. But salvation isn't complete until you reach the mercy seat, the New Jerusalem. And that's what the whole of the travels of, really the book of Numbers is about. It's about this travel, this trip from the point of salvation to the mercy seat.
There is no such thing as this sinner's prayer and taking the Lord as your personal Savior.
Well, I mean, that's all fine. They can do all that crap if they want to, but that's not what these words mean. So, again, that's why once people stopped studying the Old Testament, then they lost that typical meaning and showing the trip, if you will. It's like you're leaving from here and going to Paris, and so once in Paris, always in Paris, but you never make it to Paris.
So saved in what you just said, saved would be not the born again experience.
That's the beginning.
But saved would be when you
were on the mercy seat.
On the mercy seat. But then from.
And everything there, between that is the trial of faith, to see if anything can get your attention.
That's the parable of the sower.
Right.
Process.
All right. Again, this is Paul's testifies of his conversion. And he's before King Agrippa. Agrippa is another one of the Herods. He said in verse 12, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And that's a bad translation. It said, kick against the pricks. Should have been translated, it's hard for thee to resist the divine impulse. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he's not saying, Lord Jesus. He's saying, this guy is above me, so he's calling him Lord. Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto you. What he just saw was the conversion, and then of those things in which he will appear unto him. And that's the meaning of it. That's the meaning of testimony. It's your death, his life. Wherever he appears unto you, that's what you testify of. Not like delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles whom I now send thee. He's delivering he's delivering Paul from the people and the Gentiles, but that's who he's sending him to. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, metanomi, and turn, epistrepho, to God, and do the works meet for repentance. Same thing John the Baptist said. The works meet to repentance. Are you testified by your life, by your words, by your thoughts? The vanity and emptiness of human effort. That's what bringing forth meat for repentance means. Okay?
That's like Solomon. He did that.
All of them did. David did it. Solomon did it.
Solomon
Abraham did it.
Picture. I know they all did, but Solomon had, his life, I think, was about that. Trying everything. Finding out for himself, no doubt.
Amen. All right. Let's go to another one here. Let's go to James 1. Now it gets kind of interesting. Verse 12. Well, let's start at the first one. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy, or the highest joy, when you fall into diverse temptations, diverse testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun no sooner riseth with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall a rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, again, here, lust just means wanting things to be different than they are. You understand that? Every man is drawn away of his own lust. That's what draws you away from the mercy seat. So you don't abide, you don't stay, you don't have patience. You're like this, you know, double-mindedness, wavering all over the place. Now, where did I go?
15.
Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it finished, bringeth forth death. So again, that's what we're talking about. You try, you never get drawn away by everything, by your own lust. And then sin, when it conceived, brings forth finally death, so that you can truly see. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, a shadow just means the shade cast by one object on another. But this book, this shadow of turning, the turning is the word trope, where we get epistrope, and it's the turning of the stars or the moon. Well, not the stars, but the moon. And so what happens is there's light, and then the planet or the star turns, then there's darkness. The same with planets. The planets turn, and there's light because from the sun, but then they turn, and it's darkness. Now what he's saying here, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So there's never shadows. That was the conversion experience that I had. There was light, but light was from every source. I mean, it was everywhere. There was no source of the light, so there could, by definition, be no shadows. That's the clarity that conversion and turning from self will provide you, where there never again is this, you've got shadows, and you do, I don't know if I believe or not, and blah, 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 blah. I don't know what to do about this, and I don't want to do about that, and so I'm going to have to try everything, and blah, blah, blah. You finally tried everything, then that's the good and perfect gift, that there is the light from above, that there's no shadow of turning. Because the light is equally everywhere. Now that's what the meaning of this strepo turning that comes with repent is. There's repent, and then there's this issue of no shadow of turning, brightness, light from everywhere, everything equally. There's as much light in this black case as there is in that light bulb. You understand that? if light is the only constant in the universe, then it can't have anything blocking it. And that's the revelation of Christ. There's nothing that can come that can cause a shadow. Now that's your inheritance. That's rightfully yours if repentance is real. Amen?
Amen.
What, Gary?
What causes darkness?
Your mind.
So my mind causes that to be black.
No, the mind causes this. What happens? What is color? What is light? What is color?
Reflections.
Right. The reason this is black is why? Why is this black and this part of this page is white? Why is this tablecloth, whatever color it is?
What is resistance?
Huh?
I'll bet it's resistance.
Right, it's what it ever reflects. This absorbs everything, all the colors, so it's black. Then the spectrum of the light, whatever the light that you see and the color that you see is a function of which are reflected and which are absorbed. In him, there's no reflection or absorbing because it's all light from this all places. That's why you, wherever you look, you see the perfection of his holiness. You see it's finished. You see every knee is bowing. You see every tongue is confessing. You see you've been perfected by one offering. You see you own all things. That's the practicality of this, of seeing with no variableness, no shadow of turning.
And when you're enlightened, something happens up here.
Yeah, you ignore it.
Well, I mean, something takes place. It's knowledge. I mean, when you preach sometimes, the words drive with the darkness or some phenomenon.
Right, because it just is a witness to that which is already inside you. And repentance has opened everything, so there's no more you in the way. But as long as you pay attention to any aspect of your mind or your emotions, then there's shadows and variableness. And let's go to one. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to a couple. Let's go to Luke 22. This is spoke. This haunt, the same thing that's happening with the light is now spoken of in a different way. Starting verse 24. No, that's not right. And then verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not when thou art converted. Strengthen thy brethren. So here it's the same picture, but now using sifting as the parable. He didn't rebuke Satan for sifting Peter as wheat. Because that's Satan's job, to mess with you in every way, until there's only the perfect grain that falls into the ground and dies, or the grape that is crushed for the making of the wine. Your individual identity is lost in the mystery. So again, converted here is using this same idea that epistrepho, which is the it's It's the fruit of repentance. It's an epistrepho. It's there's no turning. There's no, you're steadfast when Satan is sifting you as wheat. You don't go back into time and space for anything. Now let's look at a few in the. Let's go to Psalm 51. Let's stop here a minute. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about here? It's all the same story. It's all sifting as wheat, finally coming to light that has no, that's equally everywhere. No shadows, no turning, no variableness, steadfastness, abiding. They're all meaning the same thing in a thousand ways. Okay, Psalm 51.
No. Just said, can't be comprehended by the carnal mind.
No.
Well, I mean,
that's not, it can't be, and it's not supposed to.
I know. Finish my sentence here.
Okay.
And my wife would just go like,
I drank once.
You're still accusing me, or telling you, Judy, that you are married only?
Pretty close.
God, that's disgusting.
But that's really critical. If you're sitting here trying to understand these words with carnal mind, it ain't going to happen. So you have to be abandoned for this
to spark.
Find a place that fits, that works, that happens.
That's why you have need that no man teach you, because the fullness of Him is already within you.
Yeah.
The only thing that happens is you've gotten in the way. And again, you get in the way by the only enemy of God in time and space, Ronnie, the Antichrist. But no, your mind and your emotions. That's what tests the perfection that is already within you. It's all digital. It's either Christ or you. You got to get rid of you.
Yeah, and I can feel the evil in me wanting to understand this, and my mind wants to understand it, so it has a place in this mystery. But it doesn't. Where did we go?
Isaiah 51, starting verse. Psalm 51, I'm sorry. Verse 4. No, I'll start in the beginning. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me from myself. Cleanse me from this beast that the Antichrist has invented called Ronnie. Or Gary. Or Sue. Or Ollie.
You didn't have to start with me.
For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil. This isn't in there. It's just done evil. You did evil because you are evil. You did evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. I was shapen in the curse. And in sin did my mother conceive me. And it wasn't the sin of sex, which is what a lot of people preach. It's the sin of the fall. Eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Or as I like the way that Melito puts it, eat from the fruit of the tree that knows good and evil. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inner part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Hallelujah. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And that's, again, converted. But they can't be converted until you live the mystery. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for that thou desirest not sacrifice, or else I would give. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Now again, hear me. This in Psalm 48, it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain or the high place of his holiness. Beautiful for every situation, the joy of the whole earth is this Mount Zion, the new Jerusalem, shrouded in a mystery, the city of the great king. But it's shrouded from your mind. And as long as your mind is your identity, you will never see anything. You'll try to understand, and all the best you can do is create a philosophy, which is just crap. Let's go to Isaiah 60.
Isaiah 60. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I said 16. Turn right to it. Yes, I did too. I'm not kidding.
Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. And this is the one. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And again, then shall the conversion, that not some mental acceptance. Well, we've got more to study on this one. Does this clear anything up? Apparently not. Huh?
You gotta see it in spirit. Yeah. You might not see it right now, but it's coming.
is so incredible, so beautiful, so all-encompassing, so overshadowing. And it's your inheritance, 24 hours a day. But you have to put aside you. You have to bury you. Amen? Take a big breath.